Talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice. I'm your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert. Derek Ismaki is out. Rudy Vasquez is out. But my executive producer extraordinaire, Statman Brad, is in the building.
Yeah!
And when your team's playing injured and you're down, we like to call in a ringer. And that's exactly what we've done. We brought in our man, local comedian, local legend, TJ Hudson.
Yeah, oh, I gotta give my own.
Oh, yeah, no. You have to create your own. You don't get mine. I'm sorry. I mean, it's a good one, but it's like I worked for that one.
I just assumed you had something else prepared for me.
Okay.
All right, I'll take it.
Here we go. Okay.
You can find TJ at many open mic around town, hosting comedy shows, doing comedy, usually headlining the shows. Let's be honest.
Someone's gotta do it.
So we'll probably talk about the comedy scene here in Chico. Pretty talented underground comedy scene if you're unfamiliar. So we'll get into that here in a bit. Make sure you go follow us on Instagram, TBP Not A Game. TBP Not A Game. Follow us, we'll follow you back. It's the best way to interact with the show, see all our giveaways and whatnot coming up, and vote. We do our TBP Hall of Fame. We have you vote on all sorts of things. And just to let you know, our audience, killing it on the gambling scene. Going in to Friday evening, I believe it was. Maybe it was Saturday. I can't remember. Long weekend. I want to say it was Friday. Y'all went 3-for-4 with your picks. Pretty impressive. Pretty good. So, shouts to you guys. That's good stuff.
Is that based on the poll? Instagram Live?
That's correct.
On Instagram? Okay, I just want to make sure.
So we put up a poll. I put up 4 different games, all 3 hoops games and Giants Nationals. You guys got every game right, except for one, and I can't remember which one it was.
Okay. No, that makes sense. I thought you said 3 and 4. 3 and 4.
Yeah, it was 3.
Three out of 4.
You said killed it, and you're like, I was like, less than 50%.
Yeah, that's not right. Good.
3 out of 4.
Three out of 4. So shouts to you guys. So make sure you go over to TBP Not A Game. Follow us there. Interact with the show. We like to have fun.
You can actually watch us live on Instagram Live if you follow us there.
We are live on Instagram Live. So you could see our faces if you want. And we don't have to be nameless, faceless folks. You could actually see our faces. Hello to our friends over on IG Live. What up? And you can interact with the show there. All right. Ladies and gentlemen. That's right. NBA playoffs are here, baby!
Woo!
They are here, and they are heating up. Kind of.
I mean, so it's still first round, so you can't get really too excited.
Yes, very true.
But thankfully, we actually have some possible sweeps coming up.
Well, we have one going on right now that could... I don't know what the score is. I do not have it in front of me right now, but I do know...
It is 73-66, Boston in the lead in the third quarter with 6 minutes and 19 seconds left.
So we're talking a quarter and a half away from Brooklyn being swept. Now, there's all sorts of storylines we could get into here. We started the show last week at the top of the show discussing Kyrie and his impact and his back and forth with the Boston crowd there. And we could, I mean, there's so many angles here. I do want to talk about Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant looks out of sorts for the first time in his career that I can remember, where he looks confused. He doesn't seem to know where the defense is coming from. They're throwing double teams at him, then they're not throwing double teams at him. And Kevin Durant has played awful, just awful, for being perhaps the best superstar in the league right now. He's been turning the ball over at a high clip. He's been shooting well below his average. And I'm just wondering from you guys, have you guys seen him look this bad before? Can you remember him consistently over 3 games looking as terrible as he's looked?
No. This is the shocking part, but it also makes me question, does he need that superstar around him? Because if you're going to say that Kyrie is the superstar, he's not showing it either. He's not showing that he is that what he used to be back in Cleveland.
Well, Kyrie came the ball in game one.
Yes, but he's not that consistent guy that KD can rely on. Like, he can have pressure pushed off of him.
Yeah, he doesn't have... Kyrie has not been that number two, but to be fair, KD hasn't been that number one this series. And like I said, he looks out of sorts, and he looks just discombobulated. You know when a player just doesn't seem like they have it mentally? He just looks confused at times. And, I mean, obviously, it's easy to point out in game one him being confused on defense on the last play. Let me say, in those last moment situations, everyone thought Marcus Smart was going to shoot that ball on that pump fake. And so it wasn't surprising to me that he got caught off guard. Those are high-pressure moments. The defense is, you know, scrambling around in that moment. The timeout was not called, so they were not able to get set. So that wasn't necessarily surprising to me. What has been surprising to me is how poorly he's played on offense. And I think a lot of that can be contributed to Boston's defense. However, still, it's KD, a once-in-a-generation type player, a seven-footer the likes we've never seen before. We've never seen a seven-footer move the way KD has and does. And it's just odd to see him playing like that. And I don't want to put all the blame on Steve Nash, because a lot of people have jumped on, you know, Steve Nash needs to be fired, When your superstars don't show up,
it's difficult. I mean, you look at what he's done these past three games, 23 points, 27, 16. And it's not like he was on a downward turn at the end of the season. He was scoring 20, 36, 32, 55 points in the last couple games of the season. Like, it wasn't that he went on a downhill turn. He just hasn't shown up, like you said, at all these past three games. Not the normal KD that we're used to at all.
One of the most efficient scorers we've ever seen.
Yes.
Do you have his percentages there or no?
For the games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's shooting.
He's shooting, I mean, he's past three games, 37, 23, and then 54 this past game.
Okay.
I mean, he only shot 11 shots and made six, so only scoring 16 points. 11 shot attempts, that's poor on a superstar standard.
Well, it's terrible for Kevin Durant, who, again, is arguably the best player in the league right now.
Yes. I mean, I feel like you can unargue it now that he is not the best player in the league, and he's showing it and proving it in the playoffs.
Well, I think one series is kind of difficult to say that. I think that might be a little overblown, but he has not played like the best player in the league. In fact, he's been outplayed by Jason Tatum, considerably so, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. Again, I got to give credit to Boston. They're switching, their double teams have obviously had an effect on the series, and they played incredibly well. But staying with the Nets, are the Nets a failure to this point? Because we're talking, they put this super team, in quotes, right, together with KD and Kyrie 3 years ago. And in 3 years, they've only made it to the second round once. And they're looking like they're facing elimination right now. And so 2 of 3 years, you don't even make it to the second round?
Yeah. I'd say this is one of the biggest blunders of a projected championship team.
Yeah,
TJ.
I think there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a lot of it on the front office. Like you said, 3 years ago they built this super team.
But
you know, factors that are also out of their control. You got Kyrie, who couldn't play half the season at home.
That's correct.
Yeah,
and he just got full clearance, you know, so now KD's playing with another superstar, quote unquote, and he's trying to maybe learn how to mesh with that dude coming into the playoffs.
Yes.
Right.
And so he's trying to, you know, maybe give him the ball, give him some time to shine. But it's still the front office, man. James Harden, that mega trade more than halfway through the season or whatever, and you know, Simmons hasn't showed up.
And that's another huge
I think KD doesn't necessarily need another superstar, or he's got the wrong ones.
He needs a supporting cast,
yes,
for sure, and that's what they traded away for James Harden. They got rid of all their rotation players for the most part.
Mm.
You know, you think about it, they got rid of Jared Allen, they got rid of Dinwiddie, they got rid of some real players that could get you, at the very least, they could get their own bucket, they could get their own shots.
Yes, but then you also have to look at it, I mean, we can go to the Ben Simmons here in a sec, but look at Kyrie. He made the choice to not get the shot. That was a requirement to go into the NBA to play. He didn't. And now he's also making the excuse that a lot of these teams are finally gelling or have been gelling since Christmas. Like, okay, yes, you've been gelling since Christmas, or they've been gelling since Christmas, but because you made the choice to not get the shot. And again, that's a personal choice. That's on you. But you got to own that and say, like, look, I made that choice. That was my personal decision. Right. I don't look back on it, but this is also the reason why we're gelling so late or we're not gelling just yet.
Well, and by all accounts, that was part of the reason that James Harden was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
We're going to have a superstar who plays half the games, not because he's injured, because of a personal choice. And again, yes, it is a personal choice, but it prohibits you from playing what you get paid to do, right? If I decided, if my work required me to get the shot, or I couldn't show up to work and I couldn't make a livelihood, it would be ridiculous of me then to say, well, you know, my work's not really understanding my situation. It's like, no, that's it wasn't even the company's decision, right? It was the state's decision.
Yeah.
And so, listen, you got to play by the rules, or you got to face the consequences.
Yeah, and the playoffs are the consequences that you're seeing.
And don't make excuses at the end.
Right.
And if he said, look, we're not gelling right now, that's the reason why we're playing bad, and this is the reason why, because they've been playing for longer together, I didn't take the shot. I take responsibility for that, but I don't regret it. That would have been a completely different situation. Like, hey, at least you recognize it. You owned up to it. But it's pushing the blame onto somebody else, and that's completely unfair. Then you go to the Ben Simmons situation, where has he been? He said he wanted out of Philly. That's the only reason he wanted to play for another team. He got another team. He got a championship-caliber team. Where has he been?
Yeah, I mean, the Ben Simmons thing is a whole...
It's a joke.
A whole other can of worms. I just think, you know, it's tough. I don't understand who's advising him, because what you don't do is come out and say when you're going to play unless you know for a fact you're going to be ready to play. You're setting improper expectations. And then once it looks like, okay, well, I can't return a hero, so why return at all, right? That's at least on the outside what it looks like. And my man's talking about struggling with mental illness and having some issues going on. Don't put yourself in harm's way here. Like, be a little more calculated with how you're going to go about this. If that's what he's going through, and who knows, right? Because mental illness shows itself in a variety of ways, right? Some of the happiest people on the outside are the most depressed on the inside and have all sorts of stuff going on. But make it a little easier on yourself.
Yeah.
And just
get out of your own way.
Get out of your own way. Lay low. This is a time to say, obviously, I want to get out there with my guys. I want to be able to prove myself. But until I'm healthy, I can't be a hindrance to my team. I'm only going to go out there if I know that I'm healthy enough to bring something to the table to help them win.
And that comes to taking away the pride of the stigma of having depression, having the mental illness in there. And I feel like it's more accepted where if you said that, we would be okay with that. We wouldn't like it, but it's like, hey, at least we understand. Go take care of yourself. Come back better. But coming, like you said, getting in your own way and doing it this way makes it look awful, and you're dishing it on mental illness as your excuse, and it's a lame excuse in the way that he's doing it right now.
It's kind of same thing with Kyrie. Just own it.
Yes,
own it. You know, and then with these half stories every 2 weeks,
yes,
you're not doing yourself any favors. You're not doing your team any favors.
Yeah.
And it goes back to digress, talking about Brooklyn's front office. You make this mega trade, you get rid of Harden, you bring in Simmons, who, you know, is apparently ready to go or will be soon.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen the guy. I just think Brooklyn, in general, they've kind of championed themselves the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's just been a big muddle, you know, a big cluster.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you see... Ben Simmons is only 25 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And who knows, like, I can't imagine facing the pressure that he's facing at that age. Lord knows I was doing some dumb stuff at 25, and very few people cared, right? Like, I didn't have millions of people that followed me, that paid attention to my every move. But, man, someone in his inner circle needs to talk to him, pull him aside, and be like, bro, you're not doing yourself any favors. The best thing you could do is lay low, rehab, have a healthy offseason, work hard, and get back to the court. And stop talking. Stop releasing. Well, I think I'm going to play this day.
Yeah.
All you're doing, if y'all remember, Derrick Rose went through something similar where he was constantly injured, and there was a time when he was saying, yeah, I think I'm going to get back for this game. I think I'm going to be back for this game. He ended up not coming back in those playoffs at all, and it drove Jimmy Butler nuts. And if you think about it, just think about the radio show, right? If Derek every Monday, or let's put it on me, because it's not fair. Derek's not here to defend himself. Let's say every Monday.
I said I was going to show up a bunch of times.
That's right.
I'll take this one.
Yeah, but let's just say it's me, right? Like, and I'm telling you guys, I'll be there. I'm going to work on the rundown. And then I just don't show.
Yeah.
That's going to be incredible. In any workplace, that's going to be irritating. You need to be able to, at the very least, depend on someone being there when they say they're going to be there.
Especially if they're one of your core guys. Like, if they're one of your core guys and they're saying, like, yeah, I'm going to be there, or and they have this huge role within the team, you're going to have a whole bunch of hitches.
Yeah.
They've seen us without you and without Derek. When it was just John and I, that was a rough show.
Oh, I got to go back and listen to those.
Yeah. Oh, no, there was only one of them.
Never to be done again.
Yeah, never to be done again. Especially since he's in the Bay.
But also, no. If you're going to be there, if you're going to say you're going to be there. But also, if you're not going to be there, like, give us heads up. Like, allow your team and teammates to prepare.
Yeah.
It's not the smoke and mirrors. You're not tricking the other team game plan wise. You're tricking your own team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I don't understand the reports, and it's just trying to draw attention and clout to yourself.
Yeah.
Be an adult. Be a professional.
Be accountable.
A teammate. Be accountable.
And looking at his stats, I don't understand the hype anymore. 15, 16, 16, and 14 points per game. I mean, his rebounds aren't that spectacular either. 8 rebounds a game. The assists are the only thing that I can see really being his highlight point of, like, 7.
Well, it's the defense. That's what he's known for. And having his length against a Jason Tatum, against a Jaylen Brown right now, could be incredibly helpful if he's healthy, both mentally and physically. We don't know what shape he's in right now. And so for him to come back right now, I mean, the point's kind of moot. So let's move on off of Ben Simmons. Let's talk about this Phoenix-New Orleans series, because this actually is pretty interesting. Phoenix-New Orleans tied 2-2 now, going back to Phoenix. Now, the question I have is, did anyone have 3 years ago that the Pelicans, in just 3 years, after giving up Anthony Davis, would be in the playoffs, and the Lakers, with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, would miss it? Basically, the Pelicans are a better team than the Lakers 3 years after that trade. Did anyone see that coming?
No.
Yeah.
No, but I was expecting Zion to be more of a core role there. If you told me that, and if you also told me that Zion was not going to be a part of that role, I would have said they were a last place team. That's what I would have said. I am shocked at how well they've been doing.
What they've done without Zion.
Yeah. Yes.
Without AD.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. But I dig it. It's one of those young and up-and-coming teams. You could see another 3 years down the road.
What this could be.
Yeah, putting those pieces together.
Yeah. Well, and you got to give some credit to that front office for the job they've done. And speaking of players not playing, can I not see Zion Williamson doing between the leg, off the backboard dunks in warm-ups if you're not playing?
Yeah.
What does that do for me? If I'm on the Pelicans, again, I'm in the similar situation where I'm looking at my superstar like, yo, you can't get out there and give me 10 good minutes?
Yeah, or even, you know, on as a teammate or just as a fan.
Right.
Why are you putting this out in the media? What kind of message are you trying to convey?
This doesn't help your case.
Yeah.
And this doesn't help the team either. Like, you're wanting to be a part of that team. You're wanting to be... have a good camaraderie with your teammates. That does nothing for it. That just shows more of a selfishness of Zion than it is anything else.
The team overachieves or makes the playoffs.
I need to put myself out there.
Post.
I'm still relevant type of a mentality.
Remember me. I think he's played, I read a stat the other day, but I believe it's 81 or 82 games in 3 years. So in 3 years being in the league, he's played one full season combined.
That's crazy. That is just absurd.
Just put your phone down, put the camera away. Put the work in and get back on the court.
85 games, yeah.
85 games.
85 games.
I mean, as a number one.
Yeah.
And the dude looks like he could be.
He could be something.
He could.
I mean, if healthy, he's scoring 25 points a game.
Well, he looked great last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked awesome. I mean, he was an all-star, deservedly. He was a starter in that all-star game, if I'm recalling that correctly. But how quick things change in the NBA. Just a week ago, the Phoenix Suns, by a long shot, were favored to go to the finals out of the West. Now, it's the Golden State Warriors, everybody. According to Vegas odds, let's see here. According to Caesars Sportsbook, the Warriors are plus 300 to make the finals, followed by the Celtics at plus 380, Phoenix by plus 450, Miami and Milwaukee following them at plus 700.
How's Denver looking?
Denver is plus 30,000.
Yep.
Plus 30,000?
Not pretty.
Yeah.
I got $100 to blow, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's some great value.
I think they figured out the Warriors.
I mean, you need everyone on the Warriors to get COVID.
Yeah.
Plus 30,000?
Plus 30,000.
Yeah.
Guys, if we can win on this. it's like buying a scratcher.
What did you say, 33 each?
33 each. I'll do 34.
You'll do the 34?
I got it. 30,000?
Plus 30,000.
I mean, that's an extra $10,000 in the pocket right there.
Wow.
Yeah. That's that'd be nice come up.
So. I've never seen that before. Plus 30,000.
Plus 30,000.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it looks like DraftKings has them at 50. Plus 50,000 on DraftKings.
Yeah.
So DraftKings, everybody, yeah?
Yeah. Download the free app now.
by the way, you know what? Hold on. It's time. We have to do this. Give me 1 second here.
So it's not time.
It is time right now.
You know what really grinds my gears?
The fact that sports gambling isn't legal in California yet, what are we waiting for? It's legal in how many states now? I mean, let's go. This is ridiculous. The fact that I can't just download DraftKings or FanDuel and just gamble my little heart out.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I had
still
no
legal.
Wait, so everything I've been doing for the last 2.5 years.
That's correct.
Oh, my name is Brian Smith, by the way. I had no idea. DraftKings, I didn't know that wasn't...
Yep.
I kind of thought that was just common. I thought that was fully legal.
Nope.
Really? Still, I can't play DraftKings.
Not legally.
I would like have to, if I won, put in a different address.
I don't even know how it would work because I think it traces your IP and like your location services. So.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So well, I'm sick of seeing those commercials, and that grinds my gears. Stop showing me stuff I can't do.
Yeah, it is pretty irritating.
Yeah, 48 states have gambling is legal. In California, the only type of online gambling is horse racing. So,
48 states have legalized sports gambling.
Not legalized sports. It's just gambling in general.
Oh.
But that's the only thing that California can do online is
will you look
sports.
Up how many states have legalized sports gambling? Because that's different because almost everyone, minus two states apparently.
But can those. I still, the Golden Valley or?
Yeah, you could still go.
The sports book.
Yeah.
But yeah, just.
You just can't do it off an app.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very, very, very odd. I hate it. But Golden State, now obviously favored to come out of the West.
Got it. So it is, this is based off of Forbes, so this is where I'm getting it from, guys. 30 states where sports betting is legal, including 18 that allow online sports betting.
Okay. So 18 of 50. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, California, let's get it together. We're operating at a deficit seemingly every year. And one quick way to fix that, tax sports gambling.
Prop 49.
Yeah, let's
I'm making that up, but yeah. Let's make a prop.
Let's do it. Because this is ridiculous.
I feel like Prop 69 would be a good one for this
prop
one.
Prop 69.
Prop 69 for sports betting.
I don't ever read them, but I'm going to vote yes on Prop 69.
Like, no matter what it is. No matter what it is.
Even if they're like legalizing 69 and...
That's already legal, bud. You're fine.
Oh.
Well, yeah, you don't have to legalize it.
Well,
it's
still
legal.
Yes. Stand by it.
Vote yes.
Vote yes on 69.
Vote yes on 69.
All right, let's talk about Brad's favorite sport that he's not watching this year, Major League Baseball. So once again, for those of you new to the programming, the proceedings, or have missed a couple shows, Brad is taking a moral stance against baseball because of Rod. You want to explain it?
Yeah, it's the way that Rob Manfred's been handling baseball since he became a commissioner. He's calling the trophy a piece of metal. He has done nothing with the Astros. That was the first strike. Then how he handled the 2020 with all of COVID. That's my second one. My third one is how he handled the almost lockout of 2022 and really kind of pushing all of the blame on the players, and just how he acted was not a fan of it, not how a commissioner should act.
So you still haven't watched any baseball this
year? Have not watched any baseball.
Not one inning of one game.
No. The only updates that I've gotten is checking the standings on ESPN and having conversations with my dad and seeing, hey, where are the Giants at? What's going on with the league right now? What are the hot teams right now? That's about it.
So were you aware that Miggy Cabrera just hit his 3,000th hit?
I was aware of that. I actually did check that highlight out just to see, because it is history. I did have to check that out and see that history being made. I did also see the Yankees, Aaron Boone, walking him. That was pretty bush. It's things I can't say on air, but
It was Bush League.
It was straight lame. Bush League.
Yeah, no doubt.
And especially from a former player, you'd imagine that would not happen. You have that type of history on the line, you got to go.
Well, when it says it's a baseball decision.
It's not a baseball decision.
In that moment, it's
the beginning of the year. If you were in the race for making the playoffs, completely different story. But this is the beginning of the year. First month of the year. You should not be making that decision. It was going to happen eventually. You just didn't want to be the guy that it happened to.
Yeah, absolutely. And just talking about beginning of the year, something else you guys probably talked about in the last week, but pulling out Kershaw.
Yeah.
Like, sure, he's had no-nos, but to have a perfect game, it's the beginning of the year.
Right.
Let the dude go.
Yeah.
He's fresh. I'm with you.
I don't know.
But you don't want to get postseason Kershaw mid-season, though.
Well, you can't get him anyways. He's still in a perfect game.
I know. I think he still should have gone. He still should have gone the full length. 80 pitches, 7 innings. You're on pace. I mean, you could at least get him to 100.
Yeah.
You gotta let him go. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you. The idea of Miguel Cabrera getting his 3,000th hit, and he's the 33rd player to do so in the majors.
7th to actually do it with 500 home runs, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's the impressive part about
really
it. There's a whole bunch of, and there was 3 players to do it that within a career batting average of over 300. There's 3 players. He is the only one to bat over 303 career wise so far. So
I'd hang him up.
But I wanted to ask you, what are there any records in sports anymore that are hollowed ground?
What do you mean? Like,
they still keep records.
Because there's difference between hollowed ground and unbreakable. What are you describing
about
here?
That if someone was pursuing, we would make a big deal out of it, right? Steph Curry, for example, broke the 3 record this season, all-time threes made, which was cool, and it was a big moment at the time.
But now it's different because it's going to be an unbreakable record. Yes.
The game's changed so drastically.
I would say the Mr. 3000's pretty hollowed grounds. That's huge for a player to have, because you also have the longevity of it all, and the Mr. 300. I mean, you look at 300 wins as a pitcher. That's another hollowed ground.
And we'll probably not see that ever again, I would imagine, with pitchers getting pulled so early.
Well, no. We're not going to see strikeouts. We're not going to see long innings. We'll see the 300 still because, I mean, again, five and two-thirds innings counts towards a win. So you could pitch that many innings and still get a whole bunch of wins based off of that. I think those are the two biggest ones, and 500 home runs. I think you're not going to see that with how baseball has changed. I don't think the home runs are going to change in 500 being still a hallowed ground type of mark, 600 and 700 as well. You're not seeing these guys stay consistent enough to get to that point. I think Mike Trout was on that path to 700. I think he might get the 600 mark. I don't think he's going to get to the 700 mark. He slowed down a little bit. But still, the Mr. 3000, Mr. 300, and the 500 and 600 home runs, those are the hallowed grounds of MLB today.
Also, I don't think the single season home run record
will ever be broken.
Yeah.
Will ever be broken.
Obviously,
no.
We all know what was going on. But
at the same time, I don't think anybody's going to get anywhere close to 60 anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you might see it getting close. I mean, we saw it, what, with Judge a couple years ago and Stanton getting 56, 58, something like that. And I think that's as close as we're going to see it in the near future until we start seeing people being more disciplined at the plate. A lot of these guys are just going up for home runs. They're not being disciplined. So
there's no more small ball.
Exactly. And the small ball leads to those home run opportunities.
Yeah.
More contact on the bat, more chance it's going to go over.
I think a perfect season in the NFL would be a big deal if a team was pursuing a perfect season. But other than that, we just don't have that many records anymore because I think so many sports have changed. The way we play football now, just the scoring has gotten ridiculous. We've changed the rules to be more of an advantage to the offense. And so just in general, we just don't see as those records. The game's changed so much that we just – those records don't mean nearly as much.
Yeah.
I'd bet my roommate – we were talking about the 49ers over-under this year. And he was saying, you know, whatever website said 10. And I said, no, man, that's the A's. You know, I said the A's are going to win 10 games. That'd be a record, most losses. But they're already on track to beat that. So
there you go.
Yeah.
I thought the A's were going to win 10 games this year, man.
another one Garrett said was 3,000 strikeouts. That's another big
one.
That
is impressive.
That is an impressive one. That's longevity as well. But that one's going to be harder to get. Like you were saying, pitchers aren't going as long into the innings as well.
I immediately was thinking as a batter.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, dude, no, you're not going to be in the lead.
See that the way dudes are just swinging for the fences.
Yep.
Every
if you're going to see a batter strikeouts as of a hitter. You're not going to be in the league long enough.
So
to get
we
that.
Have a sombrero and a golden sombrero in a game. What do you call the guy that gets a 3,000 strikeouts as a batter?
Fired. Designated for assignment.
Yeah, he's cut. Oh man!
And the manager too. Who keeps putting this guy up?
This is Talking About Practice. Drew, Statman Brad, and our longtime friend of the show, TJ Hudson, joining us today. We want to thank you for spending some of your evening with us, right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, People Powered Community Radio. For the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We also got to give a shout out to Butte County Public Library and the REACH program, Reconnect, Engage Adults, Creating Hope. REACH can help small businesses and entrepreneurs by providing economic and workforce development resources at your local library. REACH can also assist you in finding a job, training for a new career, gaining new skills, opening your own business, and expanding a small business. For more information and appointments, visit butte.county.net/PC Library or by calling 530-552-5652, or you can email lib-reach@buttecounty.net. So thank you to the REACH program. Thank you to our friends over at Peterson Tree Care. So we wanted to bring TJ in not only as a ringer, but TJ, you are affiliated with a good cause coming up, a show for a good cause. So why don't you tell the people a little bit about that?
Just a really good cause going on in Chico. Not necessarily affiliated, just some really good friends of mine that I admire and respect. And they are part of Vectors here in Chico, and it is a veterans outreach and support system. So on May 12th at Parkside Tap House here in Chico from 4 to close, they're going to be hosting an event and donating some of the profits to Vectors, a local nonprofit supporting veterans. Show up, support, enjoy some great food and drinks. Vectors provides reintegration services to local veterans, which includes transitional living. They also have a food pantry as well as local sponsors that provide care packages of food to veterans and their families. If you want more information, it's vectorschico.com, V-E-C-T-O-R-S, vectorschico.com. And you can reach them at vectorsofchico@outlook.com. But just a great local organization that is helping veterans from all walks of life get reintegrated or just any support they need. Just a really great cause. So once again, May 12th at Parkside, 4 to close, and profits go towards helping out veterans in your local community. So I just wanted to come out, and good friends of mine and people I respect, so to help spread the word.
Awesome cause. I mean, I feel as a country, there's few things more shameful than the way we treat our veterans that served. It's unbelievable that that community of folks deserves the best.
And we have so many more than people realize.
Yeah.
And like I said, from all walks of life, there's a lot of veterans out there, people that have served and that need help, support, and deserve it. Deserve our respect and our support.
Absolutely. So great cause, May 12th, Parkside, 4 to close. You go be a part of that and make a difference in your community.
So I was on the phone with Aaron. Was there a price to get in?
Is there a color?
I know.
I don't think there's
a color. I just want to make sure I heard it right. And just want to make sure if I go in, I need to have cash on me or not. So
I don't think there's any cost. Obviously, accepting donations and taking donations and the proceeds are going to help vectors of Chico.
Perfect.
So I... That is a grinds my gears, actually. Just show up with cash to bars from now on, because you get hit with a 3% service charge everywhere you go. And listen, your bartenders...
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Look at just about any receipt you ever get...
Oh, that's one thing I don't check.
Yeah, there's a 3% service charge. And basically, and I understand where the bars are coming from, they're just passing along their bill that they have to pay for the credit card transactions onto the customer. And now it's pretty much just about every bar does it, every restaurant does it. And so you could save yourself some bread, and your bartenders will love you, because we as bartenders all love getting cash. Some cash.
Pay with the card if you have to, but tip in cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bring that cash. And save yourself some bread. Pro tip.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
I like that. Life pro tip. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring on our foreign correspondent. Each week, Aaron does a great job of keeping us up to date on the things we're missing out on. And so we're bringing her on, as we do every week. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing all right over here. Little skeleton crew today, but we're trucking along. It's been
probably better off that way.
Well, we're going to talk hockey, and you're not going to have your brother yelling "puck yeah" in the background. So that's
true.
Exciting.
That does work out really nicely for me.
Puck yeah! I will.
The hockey season is wrapping up this week, and as we're going in the playoffs, how are we looking, Aaron?
Pretty good. Although it's pretty crazy because in the West, Vegas is trailing Dallas by 3 points, and so it's really anyone's game for that last wild card spot. We still don't know who it's going to be. Vegas has let's see, who are they playing? Let me pull it up. Sorry,
you're all good.
Vegas, they're playing, the Stars. I should have done that. But they play tomorrow night, so that's going to be a huge game. They also play the Blackhawks, who are garbage, so that's, like, a good chance that they could win. But they're also playing the Blues. Now, the Blues have secured a spot, but, they could play, hard. They could not. And then Dallas plays, I pulled up the wrong schedule, but their schedule is not quite as difficult. So it's going to be a race to the finish. It's actually pretty wild how much is in the air in these last few days.
And speaking about the Blues, they actually have a chance to move up against, speaking of the Wild, Minnesota, into that second spot. So it'll be interesting to see what that last game is with the Blues, if they still have that chance. Because Blues only have two more games, so...
Everything is still very much up in the air. Colorado has secured the number one spot and lost their last four games, but I'm pretty sure that's just because they've decided to take it easy.
Yeah, it's the time of the season. If you're locked in, you could start resting players, and not the worst idea in the world. So your Avalanche looking great going into the playoffs. Who would be your sleeper pick to surprise some folks in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
The Sharks, right? Kind of a black horse.
Yeah. Just a few games left. They could do it, definitely, potentially.
Sneak right on in.
Sleeper pick, you know what? I'm going to go Tampa Bay. They, you know, they've made it. They're a Florida team. I know the Panthers are looking really good, and that's kind of the team that everyone thinks is going to win it. But I'm going Tampa Bay. They've just, you know, they still have a strong team. Everyone has sort of counted them out. I'm saying Tampa Bay.
Okay. There you have it.
To win it all.
There you have it, folks. All right, let's jump over to this fight. Unless you had, did you have anything else on hockey before we move on?
No, that's it. But a playoff start a week from today.
Woo! A week from today.
Fuck yeah!
Oh, God. See what happens when your brother is not here.
All right,
let's talk about this Fury-White fight. We, for the folks that missed it, there was a heavyweight bout this past weekend. And can you catch the folks up to speed on what happened and some of the controversy surrounding the fight?
Yeah, so it was Tyson Fury versus Dillian White. Tyson's last fight was supposed to be his last fight, but he said, you know what, I owe one to the folks at home. So he decided to pick up another fight versus Dillian White, who had, you know, White deserved the fight for sure, but it just turned out to be pretty dominant. Fury defeats White by KO at 259 of round six with an uppercut. So there wasn't much there. Round four is where the controversy happened. White had a great round three, landed 44 punches, and then they start to get tangled up. And, you know, the ref is trying to separate them. At one point, they're not even listening to the ref. And then at another point, it looks like Fury might have, you know, elbowed White. Yeah. And he, you know, he was looking for more time to recover. And, you know, the ref just told him to get back at it. So he was just accusing Fury of some dirty tactics. I don't know. He says he should have been allowed more time to recover, but he didn't look great most of the fight. And then he got knocked out in round six. I don't know. I don't think that it would have made a difference.
Yeah, you can't complain when you get knocked out in round six. It's not like it went 12, right? So it's just...
Yeah.
It's
it wasn't ridiculous. Yeah, it wasn't remotely close. He did get cut. He was bleeding a little bit. And I think I said elbow, but it was a headbutt. He thought that he was headbutted by Fury. But again, just like Fury was dominant through basically the whole fight. And it didn't look like White was going to do anything. So, you know, maybe he's trying to say that he'll end up with the belt since Fury is claiming that he's officially retired, but we'll see because of what he said last time.
Right,
so,
right.
TBD.
Aaron, so obviously we have Stanley Cup playoffs coming up. What else on the sports calendar are you looking forward to?
There's got to be golf coming up, right? That's my favorite. Phil Mickelson did register for the PGA Championship.
Okay.
And there is going to be another, the match, quote unquote. It's going to be Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Brad, they're only playing, what, 12 holes?
Yeah, only 12 holes. It's really not. Yeah. I'm not too excited about it. I think it's dumb. I think they're honestly doing it. I haven't seen any reports on it, but because of the number 12 that all these guys are wearing in their jerseys, well, except for, what is it, Mahomes is 15. Allen's 17, right? Okay, never mind. My thought process on air just went downhill.
My thought process just
exploded right in front of my face as I was talking. That's what happened. And I realized it.
As you were talking.
As I was talking.
On live air.
On live air,
okay,
yeah.
Just wanted to
That's exactly what happened.
Okay, no problem. All right, well, so. Last question for you, Aaron. Is Tiger back?
Definitely not. 100%. Tiger is not back.
All right, thank you for clarifying. Aaron, excellent as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, guys.
Take care.
All right, Aaron. That was our foreign correspondent, Aaron, helping us out as she always does. Much appreciated. And Scotty Scheffler, Vegas odds-on favorite at +1,000 to win the PGA Championship. So There you go.
All right. Nice.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, sir.
Staff man extraordinaire.
Yes, sir.
Ready to do the North State update.
Always.
All right.
Let's do it.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
Ah, yes, it is time for the North State Update. You heard it correctly. Baseball off this weekend, but huge, and I mean huge, series coming up. They're facing the number one team, Cal State Monterey Bay, in a four-game series here at Nettleton Stadium Friday, single game at 6 o'clock. Saturday, 12, and a 3 o'clock start doubleheader. And Sunday, May 1st, is a 12 p.m. start against Cal State Monterey Bay. That is not their last series. They'll be heading down to Cal State East Bay May 5th through the 7th to end off their season. They are currently looking like it's going to be... They're not going to take that first spot, but there's still a chance that they can secure that number two spot these next 2 weeks with Cal Poly Pomona right behind them. Chico State with a 22-9 conference record. Cal Poly Pomona, they're only a game behind at 21-10. So Wildcats cannot pull off the breaks just yet. They're hoping to go in and take that number two spot going into the conference playoffs. Next up, we have Chico State softball. Big weekend against Cal State Stanislaus State. We're not doing that again. We are not doing that again. They won 5-0, 7-4, 4-0, and 3-2. Big games there. No. Hit him again.
Alright.
There we go. Chico State softball going off. But again, this weekend, another huge game at home. The last series is going to be at home against Sonoma State. Chico State is on a 10-game win streak. They have now put themselves in a position to take on that number one spot. Cal State San Marcos, they are a 5-5 in their last 10 games, leaving a lot of light for Chico State. But it will not be an easy route to the number one spot because Chico State is on a 10-game win streak. Sonoma State is on a 12-game win streak right now. Two of the hottest teams in the CCAA coming at it, all coming down at Chico State Softball Stadium. Doubleheaders on Friday starting at 1, and doubleheaders start on Saturday starting at 12. Check them out over there. Both games at home, so you can go sit up in that top corner at Nettleton Stadium and watch both teams play.
Pro tip.
Exactly.
2-for-1.
And CCA tournament for softball will start May 5th. And for baseball, it's starting May 11th.
And Chico State's hosting for baseball, right?
No, they will most likely not be hosting based on the standings. It'll most likely be Monterey Bay.
Oh,
so,
gotcha.
We'll see. Update 107-101, Boston is leading.
Uh-oh.
Yep. But that is my North State update.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
I did want to stay with baseball because I didn't get to this just yet, and I meant to get to it earlier. But again, the NL West, just tough, man. You have four teams within a game and a half of each, or two games of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers, followed by the Giants, Rockies, and San Diego, all within two games of one another. And obviously, it's early in the season, but again, the NL West just murders row over there.
And it's been interesting to see. Usually, you only see two teams going at it, and those two teams get a lot of the big prospects. That hasn't been the case. The Padres have already been stacked, but the Rockies were the big shock in getting a lot of these big names coming in.
Chris Bryant being one of them.
Yes,
the Giants,
huge yep. one. So,
and the Rockies also, to be fair, besides the Dodgers, haven't played anybody yet.
Plus, they start hot in the beginning of the year. So we'll see where that lands come All-Star break. But still, it's nice to see the competitiveness here.
Well, remember last year we had a three-way race until after the All-Star break when the Padres fell
just
off.
Dropped off.
And then it was the Dodgers-Giants until the last game of the season, if I remember correctly. And the Dodgers ended up the Giants, I'm sorry, ended up with a one game lead, right, to win the NL West last season? Is that
they won with one game.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. How many? They won 107 last year, right?
Yeah, 107, and the Dodgers 106. So, I mean, the Dodgers ended the season on a 7-game win streak. Giants 8-2 in the last 10. So,
we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we got that number one. But also, if Derek was here, he'd also let us know we didn't win that series. So I want to come back. Yeah. I want that series again. I really want that series again. I think we're a good team that could put up another fight. But I don't want to see us facing off in that. NLDS. I want an NLCS matchup. I want 7 games. I think if we had 7 games, it'd be a little bit different series.
Maybe. I don't know. Oh, maybe. We'll never know. We'll...
We will never know, but I want to see it this year. So.
All right. TJ is a fellow 49ers fan, and TJ, I'm really going through a hard time right now with this Debo thing, man. I just don't know what to do with it. Now, John Lynch came out, the GM of the 49ers today, and said he cannot envision a scenario in which the Niners move on from Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel filmed at a club in San Francisco with where the Bottle Girls came out, and there was a sign that said, Debo staying with the 49ers, to which he did the uh-uh.
That's not what happened.
What did happen?
No. I saw a tweet from the club owner. He said, this is my club, and that video was captured in a very, like, candid half second. Mm-hmm. The owner had pointed to him and said, do you want the girls to bring that sign over to your booth? Because they were walking through it. You see, they're walking through the crowd with it. And Debo was saying, like, no, don't. He was laughing, having a good time, but he was saying, no, don't bring that over here.
Got it.
He was not. He wasn't denying it. And
okay. That's helpful.
We're having a hard time. I get it. Draft is in 3 days.
Yeah,
Thursday.
Debo's not going anywhere. He's not. With the Niner fans, man, we usually have really boring off seasons, and this year with the Jimmy G thing, now the Debo stuff, like I'd rather go back to the boring off seasons with no news. But Debo's not going anywhere, man. We got him under contract for another year, and if we have to, you could franchise tag the dude. I think this is just all tactics from the agent who represents A.J. Brown and who's the other dude?
Do you know the agent's Kirk, name?
Right? Not Kirk. Is it
McCaffrey?
McCollin or from the Commanders?
Well, I know.
Where do you use the proper name? Well done.
I know. Yeah, it ran through my head.
Well, if you look at it, when Christian Kirk's getting $70 million and Debo Samuel is getting less than $4 million a year last year, you would see.
Well, that's updated. Christian Kirk was making that same money.
That's correct.
Last year.
That's correct.
He's signed his new contract. Debo hasn't. Correct. You can't compare the two.
But
he's got to make more than Kirk.
Yeah. And especially for someone who essentially was our offense last year.
100%.
Now, obviously, they do have Kittle as well. Elijah Mitchell really came on towards the end of the season. But the way the Niners used Debo Samuel, he led the team in rushing touchdowns and receiving touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, you got to factor in, we're going to have a new quarterback. Who?
God willing.
Yeah, you're right. We'll have a new quarterback. I think this is all just part of the business side of it.
Yeah.
I do think Debo will be back. We have all the leverage. You know, like I said, we can just play. We don't have to extend him. We can play out this year. He's under contract. We could franchise him then after that. The business side of it, we have all the leverage. After what he just did, and this is just me being hopefully optimistic and a biased 49er fan, but I think this is all the agent in his ear.
Sure.
Because if we do trade him, if we send him to the Lions or the Commander, like, he might get his money, but the dude can't go and expect to win. Or especially if he was going to be utilized the way we utilized him, but on a losing team, like, he's definitely going to get pounded way more, you know? I think he's in a good situation. Who wouldn't want to play for Shanahan? I think it's all smoke and mirrors, and if we're going to trade him, it's going to happen in the next 2 days before the draft. And I believe after that, in my opinion, it's just smooth sailing. They'll get it figured out.
Well, and when people... I've seen the argument on Twitter, well, if we're going to trade him, trade him now, get draft capital. But what good is draft capital when it is
it's a
roll of the dice at best? You know what you have in Debo Samuel, and what you have is what few teams have, and that's a game breaker. right? There's few players in this league that you just need to get them the ball in space. Tyreek Hill is one guy who comes to mind. Just get them the ball in space and let them do their thing. They don't necessarily need to be open. You just need to get them the ball
in the vicinity
and let them do their
playmakers.
Thing. And Deebo Samuel is one of those guys. There's no guarantee going through the draft that you're going to find three guys that could do Deebo's job. So why not just pay the guy, pay the man? He deserves it. And let's move on from this. And
I'm with you, but numbers pay him. Are you pay him what he's asking? Make him the highest paid non-quarterback offensive player.
I mean, he's got to be up there.
To an extent. He had a injury history throughout college, and so far, I believe last year was his first full season.
He missed two games there. Towards the end.
I don't know, and I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I love Deebo, but yeah. I'm saying when he's on his rookie contract, and I believe he's maybe had one complete season, and he was a monster last year. He went off, but you got to take all these things into consideration because the Niners, we've spent a lot of money on players with injury histories. Jerick McKinnon,
yep.
D. Ford,
yep.
We don't want to find ourselves in that position again. I think the dude is worth his weight in gold, but there's other factors you got to take into consideration. Ayuk's going to be coming up for an extension, another two or so years. We still have to extend Bosa. I'm not arguing. I want to keep Deebo. I don't want to see him go anywhere.
Agreed.
But I'm just saying, like, he can only ask for so much.
Yeah, even if you do make him the highest paid player, you got to have a quarterback to throw to him. If you don't have a quarterback to throw to him,
he did it last year.
I was gonna say that money doesn't go anywhere, or you can't catch it if you don't have quarterback.
Yeah. Words. And we still got to see how. And I'm hoping for Trey to be a boss, but we still got to see how he develops, how he turns out.
Because he looked very timid when extremely rookie-ish.
I was still the whole season. I was on the Jimmy bandwagon because give the dude a redshirt year. Let him learn how to be a pro. He played 19 games total in college. He turned 21 like 4 days after the draft.
Right.
Let the dude be a pro. See how travel and practice and study.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers redshirted for like 3-4 years. Our last number one pick, Alex Smith. We just threw him in the fire. And
he did okay for the situation that was given to him. But
offensive coordinators in 7 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like he did everything he could. But I think
look at me caping up for Alex Smith. Who thought we'd
say I'm shocked. I'm extremely shocked.
He turned out to have a great career.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And
he
did. But also Mahomes. Mahomes sat a year behind Alex Smith.
That's true.
Behind said Alex Smith.
That's a very good point. All right. Well, hopefully Deebo stays. Brad, you said you had a grinds my gears or two?
I got one.
All right. Well, I'll give you one, and I'll get one. Hold on.
Yeah, that was really low.
Volume was not where I needed it to be.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When you text and walk across the crosswalk when it isn't even your turn and then get mad at the driver. It happened to me as I was passing somebody. She walked. It wasn't even her time to go. A guy drives past her and then she flips him off. It's like, dude, not even your time to go. Get your head up.
All right, I got one.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people call you and you happen to see it just as you miss it and you call them right back and they don't answer. You got busy now? You just called me, bro.
Yeah.
I also got another one. Hold on.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people message you, when your friends message you on Instagram for non-Instagram related things, when someone hits you in your messages with what are you doing this weekend, text me. You have my number. Don't ask me that here. This is not for that. That's what text messages are for. I'm not going to have a full conversation with you if it's not related to a hilarious post or meme I sent you, okay? Just text me. I'm not on my phone 24/7. I don't even have Instagram notifications. I have zero push notifications from any socials because I don't want to see it, right? I already spend enough time on my phone. I don't need more of a reason. Text me.
I got nothing else, but
okay.
Boston's up. 113-109 with 7 seconds left.
Okay.
So we're looking sweep here.
All right.
Goodbye, dude. Nets. And probably goodbye, Steve Nash, to be honest. That's the sad part. No, it's not fair, but that's how the business works, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, he'll find a better job.
Oh, yeah. I think he's proven himself, but at the same time.
I wouldn't want that job.
The Nets? No. Heck no.
Well, that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you all next week. Go check out the podcast wherever you find your podcast, and follow us on Instagram, TBP, Not a Game. TJ Hudson, thank you, sir. We appreciate you jumping in today and doing some of the heavy lifting. And
good to be back.
Yeah,
very good. Good to have you back.
It's always nice having you. That's going to do it for us. We'll catch y'all next week. Peace.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Next up, Le Show.
Here it is.
Here it is.